Good morning. It's March 15th, the Ides of March. It is an overcast but still pleasant morning in New York City. And this is your Indignity Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. Congratulations on making it to the beginning of the end of another work week. If Bernie Sanders were in charge, you'd already be done working by now. The New York Times is reporting online, but not yet in the physical paper, that Sanders introduced a bill this week to cut the work week to 32 hours, saying, the Times reports, Americans are working longer hours for less pay despite advances in technology and productivity. Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana complained that it would threaten small businesses to cut the work week to 4 days. That is the role of small businesses in American politics, to complain or to have people complain on their behalf that it would be just too expensive for them to do whatever regulatory measure is on the table, whether it's taking responsibility for dumping their chemical waste into the water supply, or paying their employees livable wages and giving them survivable hours, which really only means, in this construction, that the small business owner is someone who may or may not have a viable business model, and who therefore depends on being subsidized by dumping costly externalities onto the general public or the people who are unlucky enough to work for them. Big businesses also do this, of course, but it's considered more sympathetic to have a mom-and-pop business complaining about it. Anyway, the four-day work week is one of those obvious improvements in everyone's lives, like universal free school lunch, that becomes absolutely infuriating to think about as it remains forever over the horizon as something that maybe we could get around to doing someday. There's no material reason why we can't live in this better future right now. Today, this very Friday, is already a day that they're stealing from you for no good reason. In the physical newspaper, the top story, Schumer voices harsh criticism of Israel leader. Netanyahu is actually fewer characters than Israel leader, and voices harsh criticism seems like a really roundabout way of saying it. Feels like if they'd applied themselves, they could have done a much punchier headline with looser kerning. Still, Chuck Schumer got up in the Senate and declared that Benjamin Netanyahu is a bloodthirsty cynic, pursuing the slaughter in Gaza for his own private motives, and needs to be removed from office. The rules of political discourse being what they are, Schumer had to preface this by saying, I believe in his heart his highest priority is the security of Israel, before he then turned around and said the exact opposite of that. Now Netanyahu has lost the support of what the Times calls the highest-ranking Jewish elected official in the United States, and one of Israel's most unconditional defenders through the years. Unfortunately, this comes a little too late for the United Nations food warehouse in Rafah that the Israel Defense Forces attacked yesterday. The Times reports that the Israeli military says it had precisely targeted and killed a Hamas commander in, the Times reports, an attack that the United Nations said also killed at least one aid worker and injured 22 others. One more case where the Israeli military has stopped even pretending to care about collateral damage. You can blow up a UN aid warehouse, call it a successful mission, and not even apologize for breaking a few eggs while cooking this particular omelet. Technology columnist Kevin Roos, previously seen getting seduced by a not-that-persuasive chatbot, has a column on page one under the headline, If it's banned or forced to sell, TikTok can blame its hubris, in which he recounts how he went from believing it was a bad idea to ban TikTok to believing it's a good idea to ban TikTok for no particular identifiable reason, except that TikTok has been defensive and secretive and has fought hard against efforts to regulate it, which just, come on now. It's not until the 20th paragraph of the column that Roos acknowledges it's true that American tech companies engage in similar practices from time to time. From time to time. Yeah, if the first time is 12 a.m., and the second time is 11:59 p.m. and 59 seconds every single day of the year, how in the world can you straight-facedly advance the claim that hubris is a death penalty offense for tech companies? Hubris is their only dang mode of operation. It's genuinely uncanny to see Roos getting himself worked around to a belief on the basis of nothing but shifting power dynamics and messaging. The company's ham-handed response to the latest congressional bill, he writes, including encouraging users to flood their representatives' offices with angry calls, may have inadvertently proved critics right by showing that TikTok is both interested in and capable of using its muscle to influence American politics when it wants. Come on. TikTok lobbying its users to lobby Congress to protect TikTok from regulation is in no way a test case for TikTok as a secret vector for the Chinese Communist Party to manipulate American politics. He's blaming TikTok's response to the anti-TikTok bill as the justification for the existence of the anti-TikTok bill. I believe that's what David Graeber called the deep structure of bullying. In other strangely framed tech news, alongside the jump on the TikTok column on the back of the section, SpaceX's third Starship launch outdoes first two. Does it now? How did it do? Let's read the lead. The third try turned out to be closer to the charm for Elon Musk and SpaceX, as his company's mammoth Starship rocket launched on Thursday and traveled about halfway around the Earth before it was lost as it re-entered the atmosphere. In other words, the rocket exploded again. Reuters, in a more equivocal write-up of the test, wrote that in addition to the part where the rocket blew up, for reasons that were left unclear, SpaceX opted to skip one of the test flight's core objectives, an attempt to reignite one of Starship's Raptor engines while it coasted in a shallow orbit. That milestone is considered key to its future success. If the rocket can knock off early and get a pat on the back, why can't you? Why can't every American worker? That is the news. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Indignity to keep us going. Get out there at your first possible opportunity to enjoy the weekend. And if all goes well, we will talk again on Monday.